welcome to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. I'm Sarah of the blog Sarah's Bookshelves. Each week, I'm talking with one bookish guest about two old books they love, two new books they love, one book they don't love, and one new release they're excited about. We're going to get real and sometimes a little bit snarky about all things books. This is a brand new podcast, so if you like it, I'd really love your support. Please spread the word to your reader friends, subscribe to the show, and rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's get rolling. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the first ever mini episode of Sarah's Bookshelves Live. These new episodes feature book bloggers / Instagrammers or regular readers that apply to be on the show and solely focus on the book recommendation portion of the show, all in 20 minutes or less. So that means you will not have a long discussion at the beginning and you will not have the rate it game at the end if you're used to seeing those things on my regular full-length episodes. Our first guest is Katie Fulton. She's a new bookstagrammer, relatively new, and you can find her at Katie Needs a Bigger Bookshelf. In first grade, Katie needed extra help learning to read, but since then, she has really taken off. She reads 210 books a year, and that is more than double the number of books that I read, just to put that in perspective. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, it's so great to talk to you.
Thanks for being the first guest and guinea pig for these mini episodes.
I'm so excited.
Tell us a little bit about your reading taste so we can put your recommendations in a broader context.
I read a little bit of everything. I tend to read a lot of thrillers and then I kind of break it up with some rom-coms. I do a lot of historical fiction, nonfiction. I generally like to do memoirs on audiobook. And I like most genres, except I don't do a lot of sci-fi unless it's by Blake Crouch because I love him.
Same with me.
Right? He's so good.
You know, it's funny, when we got the applications in, so many people on their applications said, I read sci-fi only if it's Blake Crouch.
That's great. He's so awesome. Yeah, so that's pretty much what I read. I read a little bit of everything, not too much fantasy.
So you're pretty eclectic, and I think that your recommendations coming up will show that.
Yeah. They're kind of all over the place.
But I like that. And that's kind of the way I read too. If I read a bunch of the same thing in a row, then I do feel the need to plug in something completely different to kind of cleanse the palate a little bit.
Exactly.
All right. Should we get to it?
Sure.
So Katie is going to share two old books she loves, two new books she loves, one book she does not love, and one upcoming release that she's excited about. And this should be familiar to everybody from the regular full-length episodes. Katie, tell me about the first old book you love.
The first old book I love is Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom. Basically, it's a nonfiction about Mitch and Maury. Maury was Mitch's mentor in college. They had kind of lost touch through the years, but then Mitch finds out that Maury is dying of ALS. So he starts to visit him weekly and he goes and Mitch starts to give him advice on life. And he just has such a positive outlook for somebody that's currently facing their death.
So I read that when it came out. I think as did everybody, right?
Yeah. It was actually a summer reading book for me.
Oh, was it really? On your curriculum?
Yeah. But I think I've read it 3 or 4 times since then.
A book like that, I don't think would ever have been on our high school curriculum. And I'm jealous of you.
Really?
Yeah. My point in saying that is a book that is that contemporary would not have been on my high school curriculum. And I totally, looking back on high school, wish we had been able to read more contemporary books.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of surprised because looking back and thinking about it, we read like The Old Man and the Sea and a lot of classics. We didn't really read too much like that, which is sort of why I loved it so much.
Yeah. What was your big takeaway from Tuesdays with Maury? Because that's one of those books that has a lot of life lessons in it.
Yeah. So I think what I loved about it is just it's such a solid reminder of what's important. Like I said, I loved that you watched Maury going through this horrible situation and he's at the end of his life, but he just has such a positive outlook. And it just kind of tugs on all your heartstrings and really makes you think about the way you live your life.
So that was Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom. Came out way back in 1997. Tell us about the second old book you love.
The second old book I love is The Giver by Lois Lowry, which is a middle school book. So I'm just putting that forewarning out there. But it's another one that I've read several times. And it's about a dystopian society where, you know, everything is controlled, who you marry, how many kids you have. Your kids are presented to you. They're not actually birthed by you. And every family has a son and a daughter. And then at 12, you're given your permanent job. And so Jonas is chosen to be the giver, which is a super rare position. So the giver is the person who keeps all of the memories of life before the creation of the society. So Jonas is training to become the new giver, and he's being passed the memories and experiencing all these wonderful joys, including snow and sledding and sunshine and just these extreme happiness. But then at the same time, he also has to learn about the bad. So he gets his first sunburn and he deals with trauma, and he starts to learn more about the place that he's grown up for his whole life. And it's really interesting.
So that's kind of a classic too, right?
Yeah.
So I have not read that.
You haven't?
No, I know. It's horrifying that I have not read that. It won the Newbery Medal. I realize that it's horrifying. I also have not read a lot of classics that I should have read. I've heard of it, obviously. I've heard it mentioned many times. I never knew what the premise was until you were going to share it today and I looked it up. I kind of want to read this. And it's only 200 pages, right?
Yeah, it's short. And don't bother with the movie because it's terrible.
Oh, okay. It's a series too, right?
It is. It's a series, but it doesn't follow the same people, if that makes sense. I read the second one. I have not read the third because I didn't love the second one.
Gotcha. I feel like that happens to me with series quite often.
Yeah.
So that was The Giver by Lois Lowry, and that came out back in 1993. Let's share two new books you loved. What is your first one?
So my first new book that I loved is A Nearly Normal Family by M.T. Edvardson. So basically, it's about Stella, who's on trial for murder. And the victim is this shady businessman. He's 15 years older than she is. And there's really no reason that they should ever have even met. So she's kind of an everyday teenager. She's from a really good family. Her dad's a pastor. Her mom's a lawyer. And as this trial goes on, they kind of find themselves questioning how far they will go to protect their child. And they're also just trying to figure out exactly what happened. So what I loved about this book is that it's told from three different perspectives, but it's not the typical way. So it's not like one chapter's the mom, next chapter's the dad, then Stella. The first third of the book is the dad's perspective, the second third is the mom's, and then the final perspective is Stella's. So I thought that added a lot to the book and it increased my interest. And it really made me change my mind a lot on what actually happened. This one reminded me a little bit of Miracle Creek, just in the sense that it kind of drove home the question of what would you do to protect your child. I felt like it was a little bit of a sleeper hit. I wasn't expecting to go in and love it as much as I did. And I felt the same way about Miracle Creek.
I loved Miracle Creek, and I just started A Nearly Normal Family.
Oh, good.
Yes. So I'm really only about 15% in right now. I have not had a ton of time to read this week, but I'm super interested. I love courtroom dramas, and I was kind of thinking it reminded me a little bit of Miracle Creek, too. And the Book of the Month judge that endorsed A Nearly Normal Family back in June when it was a pick was Angie Kim.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I know, right?
I didn't realize that.
She was a guest on the podcast a while back, and we didn't even plan this, but her episode ended up being a theme of literary mysteries.
Okay.
And almost every book she shared was a literary mystery, and I promise y'all it was not planned. But she didn't share Nearly Normal Family, probably because she already knew she was going to be sharing it for Book of the Month. But this would have fit right into that theme as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I loved that episode. That was such a good one.
Oh, thank you. She was great. So I'm excited to hear your description of it because I did not realize that there were three separate parts like that of A Nearly Normal Family. So I have lots to look forward to.
I'm excited to hear your thoughts on it.
So that was A Nearly Normal Family by M.T. Edvardson. And that came out on June 25th. It was a June Book of the Month selection. All right, tell us about the second new book you love.
So the second new book I love is How to Make Friends with the Dark by Kathleen Glasgow. It is about Tiger, who her mom tragically passes away very shortly after they have this huge fight. And being that she was a single mom, Tiger's forced into the foster care system, and the book kind of follows her journey on foster care, finding a family she didn't know existed, and grieving for the loss of really her person. So I don't want to give too much away, but the relationships that she builds with her foster siblings and friends is just so captivating, and following her grief through the first few months of her without her mom is really heartbreaking, but also breathtaking. I just thought it was a beautiful description of grief, and you will definitely need tissues, so make sure you have some of those.
Good to know.
Yeah, it really captured the emotions of grief so well, so like the pain, the isolation, and it's really impossible not to end up feeling relating to Tiger. And I'm very fascinated by the foster care system, so I always find myself really drawn to books like that. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of After the End by Claire McIntosh.
Ooh, I loved that one.
Yeah, or Me Before You by JoJo Moyes.
Right.
Really mainly because all three books made me legit sob.
Yes.
But it also reminded me a little bit of Far From the Tree by Robin Benway, just from the foster care perspective.
Okay, I haven't heard of that one. And it's YA, right?
Yes.
Okay. You're having a really eclectic day with your recommendations. I know. We've got memoir, we've got YA, we've got sort of investigative journalism coming up, and we've got a romance coming up. So that was How to Make Friends with the Dark by Kathleen Glasgow, and that came out in April. Let's talk about the book you did not love.
The book I did not love was Three Women by Lisa Tadeo. So Three Women is the true story of the sex lives of three women. So you follow Lena, who's in a loveless marriage and having an affair. Maggie, who is dealing with the aftermath of having a relationship with her high school teacher. And lastly, Sloane, who's happily married, but her husband likes to watch her have sex with other men. Kind of follows their stories. I believe it was done throughout a whole decade.
I think you're right. I think it was 8 years.
Okay. So this one's a little bit tough to be snarky about because I know that it's a true story.
Right.
So I do have a little bit of trouble critiquing it, but I think I went into it expecting either too much because of the hype, but also expecting the wrong thing.
What were you expecting?
I felt like it was marketed as a very female empowerment.
I agree.
So I thought it was going to be about women treating sex, I mean, no offense, but kind of like men and having no shame in their sexuality.
Right.
That's sort of what I was expecting from it. But then I felt like it was more about how they used sex to try and build their self-esteem back after some serious trauma and terrible things that happened in their childhood.
Right.
At the end of the day, I think there is something to be said for the willingness and bravery to tell their stories. And I think that's a different kind of empowerment that's also important. And I didn't hate it. If I wasn't doing it for a buddy read, I don't think I would have finished it. But I think a lot of it came down to the marketing. I think it was just marketed the wrong way.
Do you think you would have liked it anymore had it not been so hyped up before you read it?
I think probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was actually the most interested by Maggie's story because you can do research after the fact.
Yep.
I loved the prologue and the epilogue. I thought those were really great. But we did some research and it's really amazing. Like the entire town kind of turned on Maggie.
Ah.
And he sort of got off scot-free and he's actually still teaching.
Is he really? I didn't know that.
Yes. And that's like the part that I found the most fascinating was Googling about it afterwards.
Oh, well, now I'm going to go do that. And I normally do that. I don't know what happened when I was reading this. Maybe I just had something else I wanted to start immediately. I've read it too. And I have not posted my review on the blog yet as of this recording date, but I might have by the time this episode actually airs. I think my issue with it was, like you said, it was really pushed by the publisher and in the prologue of the book, so by the author, as this exploration of women's desire. And I just didn't ever feel that theme in the book.
Exactly.
It was like they were reaching for some sort of theme to tie these together, these very different stories.
Yeah.
And really the only thing that tied them together was sex.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it wasn't the same kind of sex.
Yeah, it was just kind of all over the place.
Yeah, and like you said, I did not feel any sense of empowerment. I felt like these women were using sex, like you said, to fill these holes. But also, they weren't treating sex like guys. They did become emotionally invested.
Oh, 100%.
And they let the guys kind of walk all over them.
Oh, yeah. They definitely did.
And I get it. In real life, that happens all the time.
Yeah. So that's where I think it's empowering that they came out and told their stories.
Right. And maybe if it had been presented that way, like, look, these are the real, raw, gritty facts of life that, I mean, do you know a woman that has never been in a relationship where they kind of let the guy walk all over them at some point in their life? You know, we were all a teenager once, right?
No, not a single person.
I think that's very relatable.
Yeah.
But it wasn't how it was presented.
Yeah. So I think if it was presented a different way, I think I would have had a different perspective on it. So I think it really just came down to the marketing.
I feel the same as you. And I did rate it 4 stars because these stories were interesting. And I did want to keep reading because they were a little bit salacious in almost a Jerry Springer kind of way.
Yeah. They were.
I definitely didn't want to stop reading, but also I was sort of left at the end being like, so what? Not so what, like, I don't care, but so what, question mark, what is the purpose of this?
Exactly.
Woo. I'm really glad we got to talk about that one.
I know. I was like, oh man, this is going to be a hard one to.
No, it's a perfect book for this category. And it is a good book club book for this reason.
Oh, 100%.
So that was Three Women by Lisa Tadeo, and that came out July 9th. And that was also a Book of the Month pick in July.
Yes.
Tell me about the upcoming release that you're excited about.
So my upcoming release is You Were There Too by Colleen Oakley. So Mia and her husband, Harrison, have just moved into their new home in the suburbs to start their family, to move away from the fast pace of the city. And while grocery shopping one day, Mia sees a man that she has seen many times before, except she has only seen him in her dreams. So she has dreamed of this man for years in all kinds of different scenarios. And it ends up that his sister ends up being a patient of Mia's husband. So the four get together for dinner. Throughout the conversations during dinner, they kind of realize that he has been dreaming of Mia as well. So they start to kind of explore and try and figure out why this is happening and what it means. For me, I loved the dream aspect of the book. I've always been fascinated by dreams. So right away, that part drew me in. I also read this one while I was trying to get out of a little book slump. So it was just the perfect story to do that. It was cute, fun, kept me wondering what was going to happen. And if these dreams were a sign that Mia had been with the wrong man this whole time. So this one reminded me a little bit of The Bookish Life of Nina Hill, just because it was an overall fun read with a little bit of seriousness thrown in.
And this is a romance, right? Kind of rom-com?
Yes.
And I have not read Colleen Oakley. I've heard of her, and I don't read a ton of rom-com. Occasionally I do, every now and then. Like I read One Day in December, I read How to Walk Away, but they're hit and miss for me. But they are having a moment, are they not, right now?
Oh my gosh, they really are. And I find I use them generally when I'm worn out on thrillers.
Right. Good recovery book for you.
Yeah. It's a nice, easy read to get through that.
And everybody needs that every now and then.
Exactly. And I actually have an extra copy of this book that I'm doing a giveaway for on my Instagram. So that went live yesterday.
Awesome. So y'all hop over to Katie Needs a Bigger Bookshelf if you're interested in getting a free copy of You Were There Too by Colleen Oakley. And it's not coming out until January 7th, 2020. So you'll get to read it really early.
Yep.
All right. Thank you. This has been awesome.
This is so much fun.
Thanks for being the guinea pig.
Of course. Anytime.
Remind everybody where they can find you online.
You can find me on Instagram at Katie Needs a Bigger Bookshelf.
And you do not have a blog, correct?
I do not, no.
That's what everyone's doing these days. All right, everybody, if you would like to be a guest on a mini episode of the show, you can apply at www.sarahsbookshelves.com/podcast/guest application. And it's also located on my main menu under podcast. You can just click right to it. All you need to record are a Skype account and a smartphone, and obviously great book recommendations. So next week, we will have a full-length episode. Deb from Lone Star Words and Amy from The Southern Girl Reads, co-founders of the Bless Your Heart Book Club, are going to be here to talk about Southern books. And all their book recommendations will be Southern books. Talk to you next week. Thanks so much for listening to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. You can find show notes with all the books mentioned in the episode, purchase links, and linked timestamps at sarahsbookshelves.com/podcast. And that's Sarah with an H. I'd love to hear your comments, feedback, and suggestions, especially since we're just starting out. Find me online on my blog, sarahsbookshelves.com, on Twitter at sarahsshelves, on Instagram at sarahsbookshelves, and via email at sarahsbookshelves@gmail.com. Happy reading!